I'll be reading John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free."
Well, I love having boys. Do you love your kids? Don't say no, for heaven's sake. That'd put us off on the wrong foot. I'm pretty excited about today's sermon. Let me tell you that Travis and Tahira left Arabelle with us the other night, I think, while they went to dinner or something. And we had Arabelle in there, and we introduced Arabelle to our dog. And she thought that dog was the neatest thing since dirt. She was just excited about it. Church, let me tell you what, I get excited about the truth. Knowing that the truth is what will set us free. Now, this morning, I've got a little bit of a different kind of a sermon. Okay? I'm going to try to do three things all at once, and if you know me, I don't do any one thing good all at once, so doing three things is going to be a little bit tough for me. I'm going to specifically try to deal with some heresy this morning. I'm specifically going to try to warn the church against such heresy, and at the same time try to equip you with the understanding of how to help people out of that heresy. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? I think I can do it. I hope through the Lord's help that I can do that. So let me tell you a little story to begin with. The lady that owned our house before we moved in, she was a master gardener. And if you're a master gardener wannabe, you can come look at our house. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Flowers coming on at all different times of the year. One flower will come up, look beautiful, it will die, and just as soon as it dies, there's another flower in another part of the yard that comes up and comes to life and looks beautiful, and when it dies, there's another one over here. There's so many flowers, I can't even count them, including ferns and elephant ears and all of those things that just look totally awesome. But one day, I walked out of the front door to see something that I didn't know what was. I thought it was something hung up in the bush. It was red. And it was this. Have you ever seen one of those? That's called a bleeding heart flower. I've looked at that, and I didn't need a genius to tell me that this thing looked like a heart bleeding, okay? I mean, you could see it, right? And I looked at that, and I thought, wow, our God made something that looked like that. Isn't that just cool? Do you, anybody have these flowers at home? They are pretty awesome. I was so amazed by this. I was telling my mom about it on the phone. Mom, I said, when you come, maybe if you're here at the right time of year, you can see this flower. It's the greatest thing that ever was. I mean, it's just cool. And she said, let me tell you a story about that flower. This is our dog, Toby, that Arabelle got so excited about. He is saying hi to you, okay? My mom told me this. She said, that's a very beautiful flower. But she said, you must know this. If Toby eats it, it will kill him. Did you know that? Did you know that about bleeding hearts? Do you know that there are some flowers that are just beautiful, but if you eat them, you know that it could kill you? That's going to be the basis of some thinking that I'm going to present to you. Now, I'm going to show you two kinds of flowers this morning. Okay? The first flower that I want to talk to you about is, and I don't have a little screen to see what you're seeing, so, okay, there we go. The first flower that I want to talk to you about, we're going to call it the truth flower, okay? And I'm going to use an acronym. I detest acronyms. Acronyms, the word truth, every letter is going to stand for something. And you're going to see why that I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it for a particular reason. But hang with me on this, okay? So let's talk about this truth flower. So the first, the T stands for the total ability of ours to choose God and to choose salvation. Now there's another element to this sermon I need to tell you about. I don't ever preach this way, but I'm going to purposefully keep you in the dark to what I'm talking about till I get to the end of the sermon. Do you have enough elements to confuse you so far? I hope so. You'll see where I'm going with this. The T stands for the total ability to choose God. First of all, I want to clarify the fact that we are all created in purity. We are all created in purity. God tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, He says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." God said, "Look, I'm making people, but I'm making them to resemble me after my likeness, after my image." Church, you should know something. You are the image of God. You were put on this earth as a representation of God Himself. And when God gets to the end of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, He says this about everything that He makes. He says this, of all the things that He made, He said that everything was very good. Not just good, but very good. God stands back and He looks at all the things. The water, the animals, the people, the flowers. He looks at all these things and He says, this is very good. God did not make anything that was flawed. So our basic human nature is one of holiness and purity. Now, if that doesn't stand a little bit contradictory to what the world thinks, I hope you notice that. God does not make junk. At birth, we are a pure product of our Heavenly Father, without stain and without blemish. And the ability is given to every person to be holy as I am holy, as it is commanded of us. Furthermore, God has given to every person on this earth the ability to know Him. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says that since the beginning of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God has given everyone the ability to know Him. What Paul is saying here is that there's a basic level of understanding that God gives to everybody so that each person is without excuse. Even the man stranded on the desert island is without excuse. God has also given to every person all that we need to know Him. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God hasn't put us here on this earth and not given us what we need. Can you imagine me asking Dan Bruns to go out to my car and change my spark plugs and me not giving him any wrenches to do it? He'd have a pretty tough time about that, wouldn't you? Taking for granted you're not bringing your own tools, you know what I'm saying. You'd have a bad time at that. God, church, has given us what we need to be here. So salvation comes down to us as a matter of free will and choice. Now we're getting into the meat and taters of this point number one. I want you to hang with me. Salvation is a matter of free will and choice. Just as Adam and Eve made their choice, we also have a choice to make. And it doesn't come as any surprise that Paul says in Ephesians 2:8-9, that we are saved by grace through faith. Church, faith is our response to the grace of God. We have a part to play in salvation, is what I'm talking about. We have been given the total ability to accept God's invitation in our lives. And just as salvation is a choice, sin also is a choice. When we are walking as God created us, our first response is righteousness. Our first default setting is righteousness. It is only when fleshly desires of the heart war with the spirit that sin is given opportunity. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. We are responsible in regards to sin. We are not responsible for the sin of any other person. Jeremiah 31, verse 29 through 30. I can't help but to hear the words of Joshua, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." We have choices to make. Now, at this point, I'm hoping that you as a church are sitting there saying, "Dan, this is basic. Why are you telling us this? We all know this. Is that what you're saying, church?" I hope that's what you're saying. That's what you ought to be saying. The R in our truth flower stands for righteousness with God is available for everyone. God wants everybody to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says that He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, Paul is praying on behalf of all men, not just some. Church, God is not biased. God wants everybody to know Him. There is no partiality with God, Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Peter acknowledges the very same thing with the inclusion of the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. In that little verse that we all learned as children, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." The kingdom of heaven is open for all. Righteousness is available for everyone. Is that in doubt, church? I hope not. Again, you should say, "Dan, this kind of goes without saying." Our third point. Unrestricted is the flow of Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus, as Travis talked to us about, the payment given by God to cover our sins. And that blood is available for every person that walks the face of this earth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 19 says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on the earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, from your futile way of life and inherited from your forefathers with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus." The blood of Jesus is the purifying agent that God accepts as atonement on our behalf to wash away our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In Him," talking about Jesus, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." The blood of Jesus spilled on Calvary was for everyone who would believe and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says so. It says, "He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." The blood of Jesus is not proprietary. It's for everybody. It's available for all people. I hear the words of John the Revelator in John chapter 3 and verse 20 that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The blood of Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And to all who will invite His blood in, cleansing will happen. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Church, the blood of Jesus is for everybody. Again, you should say, well, Dan, we know that. Another T in our truth flower. Turning on God and rejecting Him is possible. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. They rejected Jesus. He says it in just that same fashion in John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. They wouldn't have anything to do with Him. I think about the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I think about Judas, and on and on and on. The Bible is filled full of examples of people who reject God. And again, I think you would say, Dan, I know that. And finally, the H in our truth flower. Having salvation can be lost. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul is talking to the Galatians, and he says this to them. You have fallen from grace. You were included as God's people, but you have chosen to act contrary to the laws of God. And he says, you, Galatian church, you have fallen from grace. The Hebrew writer writes in 10:26 of Hebrews, if you go on sinning willfully after gaining knowledge of the truth, then there remains no more sacrifice for your sin. If God's people continue in sin, they fall away from salvation because they've turned their back on the only thing that can save them, the very blood of Jesus. The plea of the entire book of Hebrews is don't walk away from your salvation. Don't turn your back on God. And I think about the old covenant system as Travis spoke to us a little bit about this morning. The burnt offerings. A way of daily devoting yourself to God and reminding yourself of what you needed to be before God. Giving God your heart each day. Those folks were staying focused on God because they knew it was possible to turn their back on Him. And the church should sit back and say, Dan, let me tell you something, brother. We know all this. Do you know everything I've been talking about? If you do, just show me your hands. I should see a lot of hands, in my opinion. You know this, right? Well, there is a flower, church, that looks pretty, that will kill you. And I'm fixing to tell you about it. There is a flower that is creeping its way into the church. I am wanting to warn you about this. And there's a flower that if you understand, you'll be able to help get people for Jesus. Are you with me? Here's the flower. This flower is a tulip, okay? And here's what this flower is. In the 1800s, there was a man named John Calvin. Have you heard of him? You say, well, that's Calvinistic. That's of Calvin origin, okay? I'm going to show you Calvinism in one flower, and the flower is called the tulip. When I get done, if I've done a good job, hopefully, you will understand the wholeness of Calvinism, and you'll be able to sit down and talk to people who believe it, and you'll be able to show them what the truth is. Or you will be able to identify any Calvinistic teaching I do, and if I do it, you can kick me out the door, which would be your responsibility, right? Lots of things going on here. Here's the tulip theology. Total depravity. Total depravity means this. I was born in sin. When I come out of my mama and I was just a little bitty baby, I have inherited the guilt of Adam's sin. I have sin and I'm responsible for it. And guess what? There ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm just a little baby laying there. I've got this sin that I didn't do, but it just got thrust upon me. Therefore, I have a... How many people have an NIV in here? I want you to know something, and I'm fixing to spell it out to you. Therefore, I have a sinful nature. Now, I like the NIV too, but the NIV used the word sinful nature instead of the word flesh in the text. We do not have a sinful nature. We are not predisposed to sin. If you believe that, you believe that God can create you to be a homosexual, a thief, an alcohol, or anything, an alcoholic, or anything else. You with me? That is not the truth. You are not totally depraved. You don't need to be baptized when you're a baby because you know not what you're doing. The man that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you don't know, it's not sin. If you're a little baby, you are born pure and holy. You're not a sinful in nature. That's a bunch of junk. The U stands for unconditional election. Here is the idea that what's that called? Predestination. Thank you for hauling that out. I got it floating around in my head. It's the idea of predestination. God's got some dice, and he sets up in heaven, and he rolls that dice, and he says, "Come on." He says, "Travis, I chose you. You get to go to heaven." He rolls the dice and he says, "You don't get to go." Rolls the dice. "Oh, you don't get to go either. Y'all need to work on that." Now, how many people believe that God pre-appoints some people to be saved and pre-appoints other people to be lost? Don't raise your hands, please. Don't believe that junk. God has predestined, in the sense of the word, that he has pre-appointed everybody for salvation, and you and your choice is what makes the difference. So there he's saying it doesn't depend on any conditions. In other words, there ain't nothing you're going to do, okay, in regard to your answer to salvation. That's where that's coming from. Limited atonement. The blood of Jesus is only available for the people that won the lottery. It's available for Travis because God chose him. It's not available for you two because you've been bad. Or you just didn't get chosen. So the blood of Jesus is proprietary. That's what they're saying in that. Irresistible grace. You can't reject God's choosing you. Because if you can, that would say God made a bad choice. That's what these folks argue. That's a bunch of junk. We have seen time and time and time and time again throughout the Scripture, you can reject God. Irresistible grace. And finally, the P, the perseverance of the saints. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. If you're saved, you're going to be saved no matter what you do. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It doesn't matter. This flower will kill you. I began to look at this and I said, this is the whole of Calvinism. This is the whole of wrong. There's an interesting thing about this. a lot of the people that you want to talk to about Jesus that know about religion in any way, shape, or form, they usually buy into some of this. They choose the buffet system. I'll take me a little total depravity, but I don't want the limited atonement. I want to tell you something, church. This is a package deal. I don't know if you've understood this as we went through this. Every point builds on top of each other. You can't take one without the other. When you explain that to your friends who's hung up in some of this mess, they step back and they go, oh, it is a package deal. It's a system. And then they begin to understand the truth flower. You see what I'm talking about? That has power. Now, I'll admit to you that I wanted to make my acronym Roundup so I could spray it on the tulip and kill the tulip. I want to make my acronym Weed Be Gone so I could spray it on the tulip and kill the tulip. But let me tell you what, church, the truth kills the tulip better than a doornail. This business is not true at all. This business right here is starting to creep into the Lord's church. I want for us to be an informed people. Informed with the truth. And in this case, aware of what is being put forth out here in the world. Because you know what? When you know this, you can help share the gospel with people. Jennifer Harper. Y'all remember Jennifer? She was baptized as a baby because she and the people with her parents bought into the idea of total depravity. She was born in sin, therefore she needed to be baptized as a baby. My understanding of this business right here helped me to share the truth with her and Ward. Where's Brother Ward? Ward ended up baptizing her. You will know the truth, John says, and the truth will what? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And Jesus says this. This is an invitation, church, and I'm not giving it. Jesus is. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. That's the invitation of Christ. This morning, maybe there's something weighing on your heart. Maybe there's a response that you need to make. Maybe it's not even in regard to this lesson. This is an opportunity when we're among our loved ones. We all care about each other. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You're my family. I'm your family. If you have something you need to share this morning, it's a great time and a great opportunity. Please, please keep what we talked about today on your mind. Talk about it, think about it, try to understand it so it doesn't creep into the church and so you can help convert people out of it as we stand and as we sing.